hear these words of assurance from the Psalms. I thank you, you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us turn now to the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, if you will, to Isaiah. Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. You can find this if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible. Just reach in front of you. You'll either grab the hymnal or the Bible. In this case, the Bible will do you better. And turn to page 613 in the first half. There you'll find Isaiah 25. Hear these words. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. It can be found on page 121 of your New Testament Pew Bible. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the story of today, to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. I hope this is a familiar story for you. If it's brand new, praise be to God. This is what it's all about. You can follow it along if you'd like to find it in your pew Bible there. You'll seek that at page 108 in the New Testament in the second half of your Bible. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw there two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Christ is risen. Indeed. Today, obviously, is Easter Sunday. And although there seems to be an exodus, some of you are going to stick around. Thank you for that. Today is Easter Sunday, and we are all fully and joyfully aware that Jesus is resurrected and has returned from the dead. But at the beginning of today's gospel story, Jesus' followers don't know that joy or that certainty at all. In fact, quite the opposite. When you consider this story from John, I want you to think about what these people saw and what it meant to them. And I want you to think about what it means to us as well. As I was thinking about this passage this week, I was reminded of one of my favorite stories, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. How many of you know it? Yeah, not really what you think about for Easter, but these lines came to mind, these lines that actually begin that book. Marley was dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it. And Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail. And this was in the absolute fact to all of Jerusalem who had seen Jesus of Nazareth hanging from that cross just 3 days later. Jesus of Nazareth was dead. His followers were crushed with sadness and despair and discouragement because Jesus was dead. So early on that third morning, Mary Magdalene went to the cave where Jesus' body had been laid. Now, there are different accounts, if you read through the Gospels, about who went with her and whether she was alone. But all accounts agree that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb in the darkness of that early morning. She discovered that the stone had been removed from the tomb. And so she ran to tell Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. For Mary, the removal of the stone was evidence that somebody had stolen Jesus' body. Now, this was alarming, disheartening news for Peter and the other disciple. So they took off running back to the cave to investigate for themselves. The other disciple arrived first, and he looked in to see the linen wrappings that had surrounded Jesus' dead body. Peter, ever the bold one, went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, Scripture tells us, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Now, if you know the Bible, if you think back to the story of Lazarus, you might hear echoes here. When Jesus called Lazarus to come back to life, to walk out of the tomb, Lazarus stumbles out with the linen cloth wrapping still surrounding his body. And at that point, Jesus asks the people around him to help Lazarus untangle himself from those funeral wrappings. So in this case, in this story, when the other disciple saw these linen wrappings in Jesus' tomb, he remembered having seen Lazarus come back to life, and he, that other disciple, was convinced that Jesus himself had actually walked away from death. Now, neither Peter nor this other disciple fully understood the meaning of the scripture, that Jesus must rise from the dead, so they went back to their homes to try to make sense of all they had seen and experienced. They were confused. Mary stood there weeping outside of the cave, and when she looked into it, she saw two angels sitting at the head and the feet of where Jesus' body had been. She was still convinced that someone had stolen the body. "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." But then as she turned around, there stood Jesus, who she believed to be the gardener. Just like the good shepherd who calls his sheep by name and they know him, Jesus simply said her name. Jesus simply said Mary, and she knew him for who he truly was. Rabboni, which means teacher. Mary had just referred to him as Lord and had called him teacher. Again, an echo from just three days ago at the Last Supper on Good Friday. Those of you who were here, remember I mentioned that to you. Jesus said to his disciples, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is who I am." Although Peter and the other disciple were not sure of what they had seen, Mary was absolutely convinced. She was looking straight into the eyes of her teacher, her Lord, Jesus, back from the dead, resurrected and alive. Jesus' response to Mary may be a bit confusing. It doesn't make sense. He said, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Well, in the theology of John, who wrote the book, the fulfillment of Jesus' mission, the point to all of it, his complete glorification, consists of three events that need to be seen as one unit. For John, that glorification was his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. All three of those things had to happen. So when Jesus tells Mary, "Do not hold on to me because I have not yet ascended to the Father," he is saying that he had not yet finished what he came to earth to do. But he says, "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Once Jesus had gone back to the Father, the promise that he had made to his disciples would be complete. Just as Jesus is connected to God the Father, his followers were now connected to Jesus and to God Almighty. In returning to the Father, Jesus made it possible for his disciples to share fully in that relationship with God. So we need to be clear about this story. Jesus had not yet appeared to the other disciples, but he had shown himself face to face to Mary Magdalene. She was, in fact, the very first witness to the resurrection. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Well, the factual events of Easter were that Jesus was crucified, he died on that Roman cross, and he came back to life 3 days later. The meaning of Easter is that Jesus destroyed the power of sin and death to ever again overcome all people who believe in him and who follow him. Because of his death, resurrection, and ascension to God Almighty, all of us can share in his wonderful relationship with God. All of us can enjoy eternal life with Jesus. We are people of the resurrection. Because of this, your life can have new meaning and purpose and direction and joy. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christ is risen. Amen.